So, y'all, there's a popular phrase that people in the Christian community like to use when they are either offering public rebuke to others or they're being encouraged to offer it from others. And the phrase is, cry loud and spare not. Have you heard that one before? But what does this mean for real? Is it biblical? And if so, what does the Bible say about it? Does crying loud and sparing not mean that you're justified in how you deliver God's message to God's people? In light of what's going on in the culture today, we need to speak about this. And you know Chris is gonna speak. So let's go. Hey, I'm Chris McDonald, and you're listening to She Speaks Podcast, where each episode we will navigate our way through the intersection of Christianity and culture to cultivate conversations that are real, relevant, and maybe even ratchet at times too. But either way, she speaks. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Chris, back again to speak to you about another topic that meets right at the intersection of Christianity and culture. And so lately, there's been a lot of tussling on Beyonce's internet about Christianity and culture, especially when it comes to how Christians should show up in the culture and who they should support in the culture. Recently, a Grammy performance from Sam Smith, it stirred up some discussion about how, one, celebrities are exposing themselves as people who are anti-God, a part of the Illuminati XYZ. And two, as a Christian, we shouldn't be seen aligning ourselves with them or supporting them, like Maverick City Music Group, who performed on the same Grammy stage alongside Quavo from the hit rap group Migos, who are, by the way, no longer a group. Rest in peace, Takeoff. Now, a Christian artist by the name of Todd Delaney spoke up on Facebook after the Grammys about this topic and stated in so many words that he refuses to compromise his beliefs, his Christian beliefs, by being on platforms that are clearly anti-God. And he spoke about how in the past, when he was nominated for a Grammy, he refused to go and he decided to stay home with his wife, and how he felt no different with this year's Grammys when he's seen some people who he's worked with in the industry on the same stage as the likes of Sam Smith and Quavo, who are people who clearly do not show themselves to be Christian. I believe in the culture that we're in today, we as Christians are becoming too complacent with how we communicate our faith, especially on the platforms that God provides for us. We say we are followers of Christ, but we move in different directions than where Christ is trying to take us. We make statements with our life verbally, and then non-verbally, we make statements that may cause others to stumble or question why they should believe in a faith that we're not even faithful to. We are causing others to question whether they should believe in a faith that we're not even faithful to. So I get where Todd Delaney is coming from. But this is the reality. The world is a melting pot of believers who are mixed with unbelievers. So most places that we go, including the Grammys, are going to be melting pot of people who don't necessarily have the same worldview as we do. Yet we who hold a Christian worldview are called to go into the world and share our faith and bring people to Christ. However, we're supposed to offer Christ, not the cross that he was crucified on. And we're not supposed to become like those who we offer Christ to. Y'all with me? Okay. This is why this podcast is all about meeting people at the intersection of Christianity and culture. Because my goal is to meet people where they are and walk with them by faith on a journey to Christ as I work on my own walk. I believe that in this season we're in, God is really calling us to use our voice in many spaces and places to proclaim his name and his power and his will without compromise. But notice I said without compromise, not without love, which is why I said I agree with Todd Delaney to a certain extent. I believe that we are to cry out loudly and not hold back when God gives us a message for God's people, loudly and publicly. So yes, he is calling Isaiah, who is considered an Old Testament prophet, to speak about public rebuke loudly and publicly, okay? And so the people in this context who Isaiah would be addressing, right? What they're doing is they have been putting on a show of piety, which means that they've been acting like they are faithful to God and they've been acting like they are committed in their religious duties to God, but they are actually really rebellious people in their hearts who do what God wants for show, but do what they want to do on the low. You with me? Let me say that again in case you had your volume turned down too low. Isaiah is called by God to speak to a group of people who are considered rebellious people doing what God wants for show, but doing what they want to do on the low. They have the appearance of godliness, but are denying its power. And so essentially, we know these people to be hypocrites. So the scripture, "Cry loud and spare not," is actually a message from God to a prophet, Isaiah, concerning people in his context who are hypocrites. They are displaying false religious behavior. And while this particular text speaks directly to issues like fasting and observing the Sabbath for this audience, it is highlighting fruit issues of a root problem in Christian communities today. The root problem that Isaiah is addressing, is called to address, is about selfishness and self-centeredness, okay? Selfishness and self-centeredness. But the root solution that God offers through the words of Isaiah is true devotion to God. So basically, yes, we may be selfish in how we're acting. We may be doing things for personal gain, even though we're trying to act like we care about the Christian community. Isaiah is saying if we love God, we're going to honor God with the fruit of our life, and it's going to show in how we treat ourselves and how we treat others, how we treat the Christian community. And it's not going to show up as false reverence with our words and our behavior. So we're not going to be walking around saying that we're Christians, but we're doing things that make others question the faith. We're not going to be calling ourselves Christians, but walking around doing things that serve us and not serve God. Is that clear? I want to make sure that y'all understand this, okay? Isaiah 58 is calling out a problem publicly. He is proclaiming God's message loud and publicly, but he's also offering practical solutions as well. And that's what we need to hold on to. When we continue reading in Isaiah 58, yes, there is an open public rebuke against God's people, but there is also a pronouncement of restoration for these same people if they repent and reconnect with God in their hearts, okay? Obedience and true piety is going to lead these people to provision and prosperity, and God is going to give them strength to rebuild if they obey to what Isaiah is telling them about what God is saying regarding their sinfulness in their hearts, okay? So with that said, do I agree with this recent open rebuke of Christian believers who support Beyonce? No, I don't agree with the open rebuke, because I don't agree with the delivery and I do not agree with the heart that is attached to the delivery. Okay. To me, it was puffed up and proud while lacking practical solutions for repentance, restoration, and redemption. What she did was give people the cross that Christ was crucified on for our sins and our rebelliousness, without actually giving them Christ, which is what we are called to do in our open rebuke. When Isaiah openly rebuked these people, he also openly gave them hope, which is in Christ, right? So that's why I don't agree with this open rebuke. But let me say this too. I believe that the God that I serve, who answers by favor, is also a God who answers by fire. I believe that the God who answers by favor is also the same God who answers by fire. And the culture that we're in today does give God many reasons to answer by fire. Okay? So we, although I do not agree with this open rebuke, because I don't agree that it was in the right vein, I am spiritually mature enough, again, to know, because I've spoken about this before on a previous podcast. Hey, that's just a small plug. Go back and listen to the Empath episode. But I also said this before, that sometimes as Christians, we have to take the meat and spit out the bones. But see, that's dangerous when you always have to do that from someone who is called to prophesy or call to proclaim God's word for the future, right? I believe that it is dangerous when people always have to try to cipher through to see if that's really what God has said, because your delivery is wrong. Your delivery is off. And what you do is you compromise the faith of other people who are called to God. Okay. And so that's on you. And I believe that Isaiah was coming in the right vein, right? And we'll see this through the life of Isaiah. And so that's who we should model ourselves after if we want to call ourselves prophets or say that we're going to speak on behalf of God. We need to look and see how it is supposed to be done. Okay. But with that said, the culture that we're in today does give God many reasons to speak through others to give open rebuke. Okay. Because this is what I believe. Being lukewarm will not help you survive in latter days. Being lukewarm won't help you survive in latter days. Some of us have been hot and cold about God for too long now when it comes to the culture. It's time to be on fire with our faith. It's time to be salt because it will preserve us. It's time to be light because it will clarify the right path for us. The fire that God shuts up in our bones as Christian believers about cultural issues should not be used to burn people, though. Those flames should be fanned to help purify the faith. Okay? We are not called to burn people with our words and make them feel bad, make them feel condemned. No, we are called to fan the flames of our faith to help purify someone else's faith. Which means we are to share God's word without sharing God's wrath. Oh my goodness. That's why I do not receive the rebuke. We are to share God's word without sharing God's wrath. Prophetic utterances are supposed to be a way out of God's wrath and into his will. And Isaiah publicly called out a problem, but he also publicly offered a solution. And so when we are publicly trying to offer rebuke to other people about what we believe God is angry about, then we need to make sure that we are delivering it in a way that we are offering people Christ, not the cross. Christ has already sacrificed for us on the cross. God did not call us to offer people the cross. God has called us to offer people Christ. This is discipleship. And I've said this before, again, about this same young woman who often offers public rebukes without real life application to follow so that people would want to work their way towards God's will. And so when you condemn people, it's going to cause them to cut off communication with you. And then the message that you're supposed to be obediently relaying is lost in translation. And so now you've lost people, which antithetically goes against God's call on your life to prophetically relay his words to God, to his people, right? And so when you're not doing what you're supposed to do in the right vein, you are now risking building up God's kingdom, which is what you're essentially called to do. Some of us are so full of wrath. We get saved and then we become so full of wrath that we are keeping people from getting a full understanding of God's will, which is to follow Christ and be Christ-like in our daily living. Yes, we are called to be Christ-like. And yes, we are called to help others get right too, but we are not called to be God with them. We are not called to that type of judgment. We are called to hold people accountable, which is a type of judgment. Don't get me wrong, because people love to say, judge lest you be judged. Oh, I know I'm going to be judged, but I'm also going to judge, aka hold people accountable. And there is a difference. What we are not called to do, though, is spread God's wrath on other people as if we are God. It's one thing to have righteous indignation, but when you're not careful, it can easily be perverted into unrighteous condemnation. Ooh, tweet that. It's one thing to have righteous indignation, but when you're not careful, it can easily be perverted into unrighteous condemnation. Righteous indignation often leads to rebuke, which is by definition a divinely inspired warning. What Isaiah gave in Isaiah 58 was a warning, and he did it in more places than just in Isaiah 58. Isaiah was often giving open rebukes, okay? And let's be clear on this. Warning, okay, is not judgment. Warning is not judgment. A prophetic warning, aka a rebuke, is a way out of God's wrath and impending judgment. Rebuke is a way out of God's wrath and impending judgment. When someone is called by God to give a loud and public rebuke to others, calling them out of sin, it is a warning for you to get out. It is direction away from danger. It's like a parent warning a child about the dangers that they see ahead with the swimming pool, but the child doesn't yet see it and he's still walking towards the swimming pool. The child is going to drown. The child is going to die. The child is going to be in danger if he does not turn away from what's ahead. So we are called to warn, right? Warning is not judgment. It is actually going to help you. But sometimes we get so caught up in our feelings and our emotions and we walk in a spirit of offense that we do not receive the open prophetic warning that God is trying to give us through those he calls to give us the warning. And so we have to discern whether or not it's our feelings or whether it's faith. Okay. And so we can be called prophetically to give warning to those who need it, but then we're also called to pray that their faith won't fail them. We need to check whether or not we've prayed for the people that we're trying to rebuke. And we need to pray for them before we give the rebuke and after we give them rebuke. And we need to pray with the person that we're giving the rebuke to. Scripture encourages us to do this. And I want to give you this example. If you will turn with me, because this is a podcast, you can always pause it. No, but seriously, grab your Bibles. Go to Luke 22. Go to Luke 22, verse 32. Okay. Go to Luke 22, verse 32. And just FYI, in each of my podcast episodes, I often leave scripture references for you to go back and take your own personal time to study and to edify yourself on what we're discussing so that you have this in your spirit, okay? But Luke 22, 32, we see this unction to prophetically give warning, but to also pray, right, for our brethren. When we see Peter and Jesus, okay, we see this in the example of Peter, who was predicted to deny Jesus three times, right? And we all know what Peter did, but let's look at what happens before Peter actually did it. Jesus warns Peter that Satan wants to sift all of the disciples like wheat. Okay, which symbolizes tempting them towards spiritual ruin. So Jesus is letting Peter know that he sees impending danger. He sees spiritual ruin ahead, and he's letting Peter know, I see this and I'm warning you that this is going to happen. But Peter was so adamant that he wouldn't deny Jesus because he just knew he was a follower of Christ. He just knew he was committed, right? But Jesus knew better. Jesus knew his heart. Remember, scripture says that we see the outer appearance and we see what's going on with people and the decisions they make, but he sees the heart. And so Jesus knew better, thus the open rebuke and prayer for his faith not to fail him. But get this, in Luke 22, we also see Jesus offer hope for redemption. He says, when you keep reading Luke 22, he says, when you do turn back, strengthen your brothers. When you do turn back. So Jesus knew Peter was heading in the wrong direction, away from him and toward the culture. He knew Jesus was heading away from Christ and toward the culture, yet he offered him hope with his warning. He says, when you do turn back, he knew the heart of Peter as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And so he knew that he was going towards the temptation of sin, but he also knew that there would be an opportunity for him to be redeemed and restored, because he knew that Peter had a heart of repentance. Woo! A heart of repentance. There are some of us out here as Christians who are we are refusing open rebuke because we know we don't have a heart of repentance. We're not going to change. We're not going to change, and we know it. And so we often get offended by open rebuke because we know that it's in us and we're not going to change. Peter didn't want to hear that because he was so faithful to God, and he did not want to see himself as the person who would sin against God. But Jesus knew his heart. But Jesus also knew that there was repentance in his heart if he was to do wrong. I believe Peter genuinely thought that he would not sin against God. But guess what? When things happen in this world and temptation approaches us, we don't know how we're going to respond, because sometimes we get in our flesh deep as Christians, which is why I'm so bothered by a lot of Christian reactions to this whole Beyonce conversation, because even though Tiffany's rebuke was not in good taste, as a thought leader, as a Christian thought leader with a big platform that she has, I do believe that there's some truth to what she's trying to proclaim, because God has been dealing with me that same way. And some of my other fellow Christian thought leaders, influencers on social media, if you will. I do believe that there is a warning that God is trying to use us to get out to the world about how we view culture and how we immerse ourselves in culture, especially with these celebrities like Beyonce and Summer Walker and Sam Smith, who are not Christian. So they don't owe us anything, but we do owe God everything. Okay, these celebrities don't owe us anything, but we owe God everything, which means we have to be much more careful with how we use our influence. And so we have to have repentance in our heart for the things that we may do that sin against God. And so when we give these open rebukes, we also need to give hope, which is Christ. And so what I have a problem with is that Tiffany is not offering hope with her warnings. Okay, she's offering the fire, but she's not offering the purity that comes from the fire. She's giving fire, but nothing to quell the fire. And so we should strengthen our brethren, not strike them down with our rebuke. We should be strengthening the community so that it continues to build and not dissipate because we are striking everyone down with our rebukes. This is why I can't say that I agree with her message, but the meat of the message is indeed something that I want to chew on here with you today. I want us to get full from this, because in all of that wrath is a warning for lukewarm believers to hear, who are falling in love with things of this culture while staying silent about their love for Christ. That is what I have an issue with. This is why we don't need to be Christians who attack this young lady for what she's saying about other Christians and the ungodliness that we see in the culture. Yes, you don't have to agree with what she said, how she delivered it, but we do need to be careful with how we attack her or how we support others who attack her. Because there are too many people who call themselves Christians, but are too friendly with the world and would rather defend your little friends than your faith. Okay? Scripture says that this is adultery when you do this. When you would rather defend this world than your faith, that is adultery. And whoever wishes to be friends with the world makes themselves an enemy of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're an enemy of God, you are essentially an enemy of mine, and we got a problem. Thus, the righteous indignation. I have a right to be angry about how you grieve God's heart, because I love God that much. And so when I see things that grieve his heart, when it concerns those who have professed to follow him and love him and believe in him, that makes me angry. So I can understand when people have open rebukes and they are right, they have righteous indignation in their hearts about what grieves God. But I also don't believe in trying to take the place of God with wrath. That is not our place, okay? And so that is what I don't like about this whole situation right now on social media, is because what I'm seeing is a believer who was once on that road called straight to Damascus, and they've gotten where they are in their walk with Christ publicly. And then in their rebuke, they condemn those who are yet still walking without telling them that their Damascus experience is necessary for deliverance. When you rebuke, you know where they're going. God has already dealt with you about where they're going. So why not tell them how to handle what happens when they get there and how to respond for better results? That is what we see Jesus do with Peter. And we are to emulate our lives as Christian leaders and thought leaders on social media, influencers. We are to model that type of behavior. And so we need to tell people about their experience, but we also need to give them hope for deliverance. I don't like when believers have a nasty taste in their mouth about others who need God's redemption the same way that they first received it. You got a nasty taste in your mouth about how others are living as Christians when God never said that you were going to be the one having to spit them out. Come on now. God never said any of us were going to be the ones spitting out lukewarm people. Christ can handle that all by himself. Christ is enough. Give people Christ, okay? We're out here lauding people up on this cross without offering them love that saves them from deserving the cross in the first place. Christ died so that we didn't have to receive the cross. Christ died so that we didn't have to receive the cross. Why are y'all still out here giving people the cross? Give people Christ in your rebuke. Jesus didn't even condemn the people who nailed him to the cross. He forgave them, for they knew not what they were doing in the eternal scheme of things. As ambassadors for Christ, then, we are to follow him and model our behavior after him with our rebuke. We should advocate for sharing his heart, not our own. Because when we share our heart and not God's heart, that's when the righteous indignation turns into unrighteous condemnation. And then that's when we want to put people on the cross instead of giving them Christ, who was on the cross for us. Therefore, we're to offer this rebuke, which reconciles people back to Christ. So when we are called by God to share a message that is going to warn people, then we are to make sure that we are doing that with grace. We are to proclaim warnings to God's people, and we're not to portray the wrath, okay? Because we are not God. And what we do is when we display this wrath in our words, as we are trying to disciple other people, we remove Christ from the right hand of God, and we try to take the judgment seat on our own with our combative approach. Oh, wow. Yeah. When you display wrath in the way that you offer your words to other people, you are removing Christ from the right hand of God, and you're trying to take his place in the judgment seat with your combativeness. You're now trying to become the judge, the righteous judge. And we are not that. We can hold people accountable and still leave the rest to God. God is going to get his glory. He don't need you fighting folks for his glory under the guise of taking it by force, okay? And y'all ain't even interpreting the text right anyway, because that is not what that text means. It does not mean that we are taking heaven by force, that we are violently taking heaven by force. No, see, this is the problem. Some Christians are so in love with tussling with folks about everything, especially about God and the Bible, that they love this misinterpreted idea of us taking the kingdom of heaven by force. That's what it is. We love to tussle out here about our faith, about our worldview. And there's a sense of ego that causes us to feel like we got to fight for God in a way that condemns others. But let me remind you of something. As children of the Most High King, why do we believe that we need to take anything? Who has freely given us access to the kingdom of heaven, and all that it costs is our faith in the one who extends the invitation. We don't have to take anything, and we definitely don't have to take anything by force, because it is freely given to us if we only would accept the invitation. So first of all, your heart is in the wrong place when even trying to interpret this scripture, because you should know that we shouldn't have to take anything by force, because it is freely given to us. And since we're talking about this text, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, because fully explaining Matthew 11 verse 12, which is where this saying, the violent take it by force, comes from, it would take a whole podcast episode in itself, okay? So the cliff notes are going to have to suffice. And the cliff notes say that this is about unbelievers who are opposing God's people. Okay, this is not to be synonymous with Luke 16:16, which is about believers pressing in or entering in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, two different interpretations. There are those who are freely entering by faith, and then there are those who are trying to take this opportunity away by forcing, aka oppressing, intimidating, and influencing others away from the kingdom of heaven. That is what this scripture is talking about, okay? We just don't understand our assignment. That is why it is so important, as we are giving ourselves these labels of prophet and teacher and pastor and all of these things, we need to be properly discipled as we are entering into those callings, because then we know how to properly help steward people towards Christ and not towards the cross. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, okay? We're out here fighting against other folks because we don't understand our assignment. When God is actually challenging us as believers to love people and fight together, That means even when we have to offer open rebuke against spiritual oppression and spiritual ruin, when we have to offer open rebuke, it does not mean we fight the people that we are rebuking. It means that we are loving them through it. But we're out here fighting with each other as Christian believers, and there are real life witches who are creeping in and taking our opportunity to build the kingdom of heaven away and seizing control, because we are turning people away from the faith, because we are not being faithful to the call. So, all of that said, if you are a spiritual leader, teacher, preacher, any of the fivefold ministry, and you want someone to be better as a Christian, then we all need to effectively be better as Christians. And we need to disciple other Christians when we rebuke them. Don't yell at them, but instead yield your gift of teaching and wisdom to them. I'm going to say that one more time, just in case you had to pause it real quick. Don't yell at them, but instead yield your gift of teaching and wisdom to them in your rebuke. Because if we claim to live by the Spirit, then we need to keep in step with the Spirit as we walk this Christian walk by faith with our brothers and sisters, even if they are not walking right. Cry loud and spare not. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining me on this episode of She Speaks Podcast. Please visit whenchrisspeaks.com and subscribe so you can get the heads up on future episodes and any updates on what's to come. You can also connect with me on social media at whenchrisspeaks or She Speaks Apparel if you're looking for some dope Christian lifestyle and empowerment apparel, okay? But seriously, if you love the show, show me some love. Leave me a rating on your podcast platform of choice so that I can continue bringing more people more quality content. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon.